23. I don't want to be here anymore.
We have a nice array of brand new colony worlds you can reside on.
I have little to contribute when the primary object is mere survival.
It's hard to think of a world where most people aren't constantly engaged in exactly that project.
You dragged me here, me and my children. Then you sent me off to retrieve my wife, who never really loved me and hadn't changed her mind. You've sent me hither and yon, and you know what? I liked my life better on the Herodotus.
The ship is still in perfect condition, and it would be fairly simple to restock the supplies. Say the word, and I'll send you up.
With my children.
If they choose.
Nobody wants the twins. They're very clever, but also quite malicious, and they egg each other on. My task will be to keep flying at relativistic speeds until we come to a world that we want to live on, at a time when they've matured enough to be tolerable.
That sounds like an excellent plan.
And Thulium will make the voyage.
If she chooses to go with you.
She's 8 years old, and I'm her father.
If she chooses.
I have already chosen for her. She's a minor child.
No, sir. She's an extremely important child, a major child, and she has in her the power to go wherever she wants, at any time she chooses. How will you get her on that spaceship and keep her there if she doesn't want to go? Transcript of conversation. Jane Hibera and Cincinnatus Delphiki, as quoted in Pleaked, Lacuminidae.
Brussels Delphiki thought of himself as Sprout most of the time, and thought of his little brother Delft by the nickname Blue. It was a convention born aboard the Herodotus, when their whole world consisted of the three children of the giant, and their seven children, the cousins. Sprout had always felt overwhelmed by the sheer energy of the others. Both he and Blue were of a quieter disposition, not necessarily introverted, but lacking the need that the other cousins seemed to share, the need to insert themselves into every conversation, every argument, as if they had proof that no conversation was real or important until they had contributed to it or mocked it. Sprout just listened. He formed his opinions, but rarely voiced them when the whole circus was going on, everybody out shouting everybody else, the interior of the ship echoing with every spat or frolic. He formed his opinions, but rarely voiced them when the whole circus was going on, everybody out shouting everybody else. Later, in the quiet of Carlotta's family compartment, Sprout would tell his comments on the arguments of the day to his mother, while Blue listened, tucked under her arm. If Blue spoke, it was only to echo what Sprout had already said. Every now and then, Sprout would take him to task for it. You have ideas of your own, Blue. You have no need to echo mine. I do if you're right. I'm not always right, Blue. If you don't think you're right, then why do you say it? Asked Blue. It was such a reasonable question that Sprout gave up and let Blue be his little echo as much as he wanted. But now and then, Blue noticed something and said something that reminded Sprout the boy had a brain in his head and he saw things through his own eyes. So, on a particularly sunny but not too hot day, as they walked across Bird Meadow, as they now called the place beyond the fence where all the birds had gathered before dispersing to five different worlds and seven different continents, Sprout decided to tell Blue something he had been thinking for several days now. I don't think I want to be called Sprout anymore, said Sprout. It's your name. My name is Brussels Delphiki, said Sprout. You were named for a city on Earth, said Blue, as was I. The nicknames are better. Brussels is easy to say, and it was the capital of a country, said Sprout. Delft is hard for a lot of people to say. I bet the Portuguese speakers here on Lusitania will turn it into, I don't know, Delifici Delphiki. Yes, that's exactly what they do with my name, said Blue. So I'll stick with Blue, thanks very much. not an echo today. That was good. But if I really want to be called Brussels, will you call me that? Blue was very quiet for a while. Then he stopped walking and pointed over toward the trees they were approaching. Is that a raven? Blue asked. Sprout looked where he was pointing. I don't see it. Big and black and shiny. In the sunlight, it was as if lots of other colors were trying to escape from it. A black hole of a bird. Sounds like a raven, said Sprout. Then it's a raven. They all left Lusitania, said Sprout. Then this is a robot raven that stayed behind to keep us company, said Blue, the little smartass. Finally, Sprout saw it, and it was definitely not a robot. Dog! He said, loudly enough that the bird could hear. The raven flew toward them like an arrow, and close behind came another raven, a little smaller. Dog is a stupid name for a bird, said Blue. As Blue and Delft are stupid names for a boy, said Sprout. The first raven came to rest on the grass about 2 meters in front of them. The second raven alighted on Sprout's shoulder. Are you Phoenix? Sprout asked, and the bird on his shoulder said, Yes. Dog, Phoenix, said Sprout, I thought you went when the others left, a week ago. 9 days, said Blue.
Arbitrary constructs, said Phoenix. You humans and your calendars.
You pay attention to the years, said Sprout.
We pay attention to spring, summer, autumn, winter, said Phoenix. Those have something to do with survival. The stark names for days are weird, tied to Norse gods, and the Portuguese speakers on Lusitania call the days second market, third market, and so on. We don't have markets or gods.
Those names all had historical reasons, said Sprout. What do you call the days?
Yesterday, today, tomorrow, said Phoenix, and sometimes. Remember that day when we...
Sprout turned to Dog the Raven. Madam Dog, leader of the Raven Council, why are you here instead of being on a new world with your people?
There's enough food here to feed 2 ravens.
What, seeds? Said Sprout. The amaranth is ripe, yes, but what about when winter comes?
We'll move indoors with you, said Dog, and take sandwiches from your lunch trays in the mess hall.
That would work, murmured Blue. 1 mating pair is not enough to start a viable breeding population, said Sprout. Phoenix answered first.
I'm a male and Dog is a female, but we have never mated. We're partners because we both speak human languages well.
Well, if you never mate, said Sprout, the whole problem of a viable breeding population goes away.
Laying eggs, said Dog, is tedious. It takes a lot out of me. But if I want to raise a brood or two, Phoenix will do. I'm honored, said Phoenix.
Really, said Sprout, why didn't you go with your people? Phoenix fluttered off Sprout's shoulder and came to ground 10 centimeters away from Dog. The size difference was very plain. Dog must be older than Phoenix, and Phoenix must be fairly young, not a full adult. Then Sprout realized what the birds were signaling. Let's sit down, Blue, and hear what Dog and Phoenix have to say. Even after they were all seated, Dog preened a while before she finally began to speak.
Sprout, you are one of the wisest of the humans, and one most open to learning new things.
Sprout accepted the salutation without false modesty.
Blue, said Dog, you are like your brother, though not yet as accomplished. You are both patient and willing to listen. Will you hear my tale?
Sprout wondered briefly whether Rukyak learned his storytelling patterns from the ravens, or the ravens learned them from him.
"Please tell us," said Blue.
Sprout simply kept his gaze focused on Dog the Raven.
"There is a reason why I was able to hear the voice of the Hive Queen in my mind when I first came to this world," said Dog.
Then she waited. Sprout thought over what she had said and replied, "Is it because ravens already talk to each other mind to mind, without words?" Dog nodded her head, as did Phoenix. "So, when the Hive Queen looked for sentient life using the method the queens have always used," said Sprout, "she found you to be a viable partner in conversation."
"From her," said Dog, "I learned that this connection of the minds, of the heart."
"The Iua," said Blue. Sprout looked at him in surprise.
"I know about it," said Blue testily. "I learned that the connection could reach infinitely far," said Dog, "and yet take no time at all. Like the way you travelers fly."
"So you're still in contact with all the ravens, on all 7 continents?" asked Blue.
"I didn't know if it would work for us. None of us is as mighty as the queen," said Dog. "So I let them all go, and waited here to discover if I could stay in contact with them."
"Can you?" asked Blue.
"Yes," said Dog.
"So you're still head of the Raven Council?" asked Sprout.
"I'm the representative of the ravens to the travelers and the geneticists. Other council members serve as ambassadors to the Kias on their world and to the humans in Formix and Pecaninos. We have had to expand the council so that every liaison is represented and all our knowledge can be pooled."
"But it condemns you to isolation," said Blue. "It keeps anybody from challenging you for leadership," said Sprout. Dog the Raven made a gruff, raucous sound, not the cawing of a crow, but it would certainly pass for laughter.
"I am at the center for now," said Dog, "but I won't live forever. Still, the liaison with the travelers is the most important position of all, because you travelers are the only ones who can save us if one or another of our colonies should be in danger of failing."
"I'm not a traveler," said Blue. "I don't think Jane intends to have a lot of traffic between the worlds," said Sprout. "Not that way."
"She's still transporting food and other supplies from Lusitania to all the human colonies," said Dog. "It will cost her nothing if a raven or two wants to hitch a ride."
"Jane doesn't want anybody to be a prisoner," said Blue.
"A wise boy," said Phoenix. "He should be allowed to breed."
Dog turned to Phoenix and said,
"Humans let anybody breed."
"Oh,"
said Phoenix.
"And these two are so young they can't inseminate the eggs of the human female."
"Oh," said Phoenix. "I just thought they were small, like me."
So Phoenix wasn't necessarily younger, just small for a raven. "Dog the Raven," said Sprout, "I honor you for your sacrifice in remaining here. But when we're sure we've resolved the matter of the Descolada, it's unlikely that all the detourists, the travelers, as you call us, will remain on one world."
"It will be interesting to see what the Council asks me to do, if I'm still alive at that time."
"How old are you now?" asked Blue.
"Wild ravens on Earth rarely lived to be 20 years old," said Dog. "But during the voyage, as we bred for intelligence and speech, we also achieved ever greater ages. I am already 20 years old, Earth years, and expect to live at least 10 more years, and possibly 20.
To Sprout, it seemed unthinkable to look forward to so brief a life. But then, Anyone could die at any time, so anyone who counted on a full lifespan was delusional. You die when you die. Till then, you live.
I'm content with whatever life I get, said Dog. Laying eggs shortens the lifespan of females, yet the species must go on, and I am expected to breed.
As long as you remain on a world with almost no other birds, said Blue, you must be lonely.
We ravens are usually content to journey two by two. We change partnerships, but there's a human saying, two is good company, three is crowded.
So you don't usually flock, said Sprout.
We do when there's a need, said Dog. Two ravens can't mob a hawk and make it go away. And then there's something worse than being alone or just the two of us, said Phoenix. What's that? Asked Dog. We might be forced to be the only ravens among a population of Kias, said Phoenix.
The two ravens made their gronk-gronk sound.
They'd have our feathers off us in 10 minutes, said Phoenix. But I miss them, said Dog. Me too, the stupid clowns, said Phoenix.
Do they talk mind to mind, the way you ravens and the Hive Queen can?
Not that I know of, said Dog, and not all ravens are equally adept at it.
How are the colonies doing? Asked Sprout.
They're all eating well, said Dog. The travelers chose well, sending us to worlds bountiful with insects, grubs, worms, nuts, and seeds.
Any predators? Asked Blue.
Three of our 7 colonies are on worlds with hawks and falcons, but we're smarter than they are, and we're bigger than other corvids. Hawks quickly learn to leave ravens alone. We are not their prey, not when there are small mammals and fish to be had.
Then I won't worry about you, said Sprout.
But if I ask you to take me to another world, asked Dog, will you do it?
Jane would have to show me where it is first, said Sprout. Then I can find it again.
Visit all the colonies, said Dog. Tell me about them when you do.
Me too? Asked Blue. You can't detour yet, said Sprout. But you can take me with you, said Blue.
Why not? Said Sprout.
Why not indeed? Said Dog. Blue may learn how to travel just from doing it frequently with you.
Blue grinned. Sprout worried.
You'll always be needed, Sprout, said Dog. Don't begrudge your brother the chance to have a power you like having.
Right, said Sprout. That would be wrong, for me to even want to keep it from him.
None of the other humans know that we're here, said Phoenix. Will you tell them now, or keep it secret?
What do you want us to do? Said Blue.
I don't know, said Dog. I would like to see Peter and Wang Mu again, so you could tell them. And Jane and Miro, of course they should know.
The only traveler you haven't mentioned, said Sprout, is Thulium.
She's a remarkable human, said Dog, even cleverer than you.
I know, said Sprout.
But still somewhere between crazy and stupid, said Phoenix.
You're wrong, said Sprout. Neither one, but frightened sometimes and wildly overconfident at other times.
Therefore crazy, said Phoenix.
And she sometimes overestimates her own knowledge and skills, said Sprout.
Therefore stupid, said Phoenix. You only reject stupid and crazy because they're on your list of not nice words.
Are you telling me not to tell her? Asked Sprout. Because I think she would benefit from talking to you often. I think it would help her learn how to be less crazy and stupid.
Tell her then, said Dog. Or better yet, bring her here without telling her.
how will I know when you're here? Asked Sprout.
Where else would we be? Asked Phoenix. One of us will always be nearby, said Dog, and we'll call the other if you come.
The Council of Ravens, back on Nest, said Sprout. Now I wonder, were there a bunch of other ravens there, meeting in those trees? Or were you talking to them all in your mind, from a great distance?
It was rarely more ravens than me and Phoenix, said Dog. We're not crows. They're such annoying extroverts.
Were there crows on Nest?
Almost every kind of bird except the ratites and the raptors, said Dog. The huapaya couldn't deal with giant birds inside a spaceship, and no condors or other birds with fast wingspans were awake for the trip.
You have a long and amazing history, said Sprout. Dog paused before answering.
Our history is completely dependent on humans for our transportation through space, but we honor humans for letting us ravens breed ourselves. Humans were not good at recognizing the traits we value most.
They regarded each other in silence for a long time.
Come speak to me from time to time, said Dog. Either of you, together or separately. I want to learn from you about the special humans called leguminids. We have a lot of knowledge that you'll never hear from Rukyak, because he doesn't know it.
We have some stories, too, said Blue. We had our own voyage in the Herodotus for more centuries than the folk of the Ark.
Then we will also listen to your tales, said Dog. Goodbye.
With that, she took wing and flew away. But instead of going into the trees, she spiraled upward, then began a show of acrobatic moves in the air, she and Phoenix dancing together, or so it seemed. It was beautiful to watch these large birds flying on their broad wings, black crosses in the sky. And then they swooped down and went into the shadows of the trees. They disappeared the moment they entered the shadows.
Thanks for taking me with you today, said Blue.
Thanks for noticing the ravens so we could go to them, said Sprout.
I think they would have sought us out whether I saw them or not, said Blue. They know you.
Maybe, said Sprout. They headed back toward the gate in the fence because it was getting on toward mealtime.
Do I have to call you Brussels? Said Blue.
No, said Sprout. Not yet.
Not ever, please.
We'll see.
You sound like an idiotic grown-up when you say that.
What's idiotic about it? Asked Sprout.
It's a grown-up way to say no without a child realizing their request has been rejected.
Yes, said Sprout, but apparently it doesn't work on you anymore.
Never did, said Blue.
Always did till now, said Sprout.